was at the cross. Most of the disciples weren't there. He was one that was there. And Jesus saw him and said, you know, this is your mother. In other words, ask him to take care of his mother. Anybody else?
The only disciple. Only disciple that wasn't martyred. Mm-hmm. The one that died of old age.
Died of old age. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think it's one of the books, it might have been Acts, where it is, I think, James, his brother, was killed by the sword. And Peter was put in prison right after that. So, and let me know if y'all can't hear, because we are kind of spread out. I'll try to talk louder. And then somebody's going to say something else.
Didn't he outrun Peter when he was going to the tomb?
Yeah. Somebody outrun
him. Mm-hmm. It was John, yeah, because that was in the book of John. Yeah,
he waited. Peter didn't want to win.
Yeah. But it was brought out that he realized the implication that, you know, that napkin was folded and the tomb was empty. He realized what Jesus said, you know. So, anybody else think of anything else about John?
John was just the one that stayed the closest to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I believe he was also the youngest disciple.
Okay. I'm not sure. It's very possible. I'm not sure about that one.
It's my favorite gospel. I just like the way he writes.
Yes. And you see a lot of similarities in 1 John with the Gospel of John, because his heart, and they were written close to the same time. The Gospel of John was written later than the first three Gospels. And it was written at a time, just in the same span of time that he wrote the letter of 1 John, and because of the false doctrine and the false teaching. And I won't go a lot into detail on the Gnosticism, because that's part of our study during one of the chapters, but there was a lot of, nothing's new under the sun, but, you know, there's just this false teaching, this false doctrine coming out, saying that he wasn't the Son of God. God wouldn't have a son. You know, it was, the Gnosticism was a belief that was based on knowledge and experience. That's how you were saved or whatever, not the new birth, not redemption by the blood of Jesus. It was just a false doctrine and teaching that was beginning in that day. And so John is writing. That's really one of the main purposes we're going to find that he's writing, to tell the believers that, you know, the main things. And I want y'all to think about this. Why does he talk about love and the brothers and loving God? Why does he talk about you have to know that, believe that Jesus came in the flesh? You know, if you're speaking for the Holy Spirit. Why did those things matter? Because it all had to do with what was going on in that day. And it's still going on in our day. There's still the false doctrine that would say, you know, Jesus isn't the way, you know, and you can experience your own self, your own higher self or whatever, you know, all that stuff, the garbage. But it's nothing new. It's just maybe dressed up differently or looks a little differently. But, and I'm probably getting way ahead of myself, but. So y'all, if anybody else can think of anything about John to bring out.
I think about what he said on Sunday about all the sins and the sleep and how he knew the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so he had the revelation at the tomb and he laid on Jesus' breast, but in Revelation he still wept because he didn't have the full revelation of Christ the Almighty, where he had the revelation. Mm-hmm.
Right. Right, even that close, and still, and writing the Gospels, and still, that's why God revealed himself in Revelation to him, so he could tell us about it. But yeah, he still didn't know. And another thing, too, is that he was like the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, at the Mount of Transfiguration. And, you know, he saw things that the other disciples didn't see. And that's, I love the way 1 John opens, you know, those things we've touched and handled and seen, you know. I was an eyewitness. I saw all this, and I want to tell you about it. So that was what he opens with. And if you read this week and the next page, too, it talks about syncretism, page 11. That's just talking about what was going on with just combining all these beliefs, Greek, you know, the Greek gods, the Roman gods. Every nation, every pagan nation had their own twisted beliefs that started maybe a truth from God's word or a truth about this, and it would be twisted into something that they became their religion and became what they would worship. And so John is really, we're going to see, he's just desiring to bring people back to the center, back to the truth, back to the truth of who God was, who Jesus is, and what he really wants, and what he really can do in us. And so you just keep that thought in your mind. We're going to actually read through 1 John, but get your pencils ready, because we're going to turn, or you might have already done this, but turn to page 16. And I wanted to do this together because, like, in the following weeks, you'll have already gone through these things on your own. But some of you are just getting the book. Some of you really weren't sure what we were supposed to do. And so I just said, read through 1 John. And it's one of those books we can read through in one sitting, you know. But we're going to read through it now, and we're going to stop as it stops on that number 3 where it says chapter 1, 1 through 4, and then and see if you can write in whatever you think the answer to this question are. So it says, make a title or short summary for each passage. Like you're going to kind of, we're breaking the book up into these little subject matter. And so as I read, and I may ask some of y'all to read. It sometimes helps to hear other voices. But let's turn to 1 John. And if you do read, read loud, so hopefully this can, this recording will pick you up. Or if you share something, let's go ahead and talk loud so we can all hear. I know, but I might get you to read some. But all right, so everybody knows what you're supposed to do. It says write a title or short summary for each passage. We're kind of making an outline as we go through this. Verse 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So take a minute, a few seconds, and title that section. I'm not going to stop too long. You can be writing while I'm reading, please, too. Also, I'm going to throw another thing and see how much your brain can do at one time. Page 16, number 3. And each one of those little sections, I'm going to take a break and we're going to read. I am often hard to follow, so please say. Some of y'all ladies we've been studying together for a long time. You're used to me, but I can be nuts. Okay. And another thing to think about, number 1, what attitudes and feelings toward his readers does John show? Think about his attitude and his feelings. What does he repeat over and over again? Because those are the things we're going to pull out from this. But everybody now, we're going to chapter 1, verse 5, top of, I can't read my number, 17. All right. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Did I go too far? No, still going. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write unto you no new commandment. I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even till now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So take us a few seconds and write down what you would title that section. And I actually read through this in 12 minutes and 30 seconds, so it's not going to take too long, except for our little brothers. Okay, I'm ready to go. Y'all ready? All right. Verse 12 of chapter 2. Huh?
That's
she. All right, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that's from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that's from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. Give that a little title. That's not there already. Cheater, cheater, cheater. Think about his writing style too. What makes you, you know, and I know I might be reading it a certain way. I'm trying not to, but anyway. Verse 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Write you a little title or a little phrase. Verse 18. This will be a long one. Little children, it is the last time. And as you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
She's all right, so they went out from us because they weren't of us. That's where we left off. But you have an unction, verse 20, from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same has not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and it is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Write you a little type. Verse 28. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone which does righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he's pure. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whoso abideth in him sinneth not. Whoso sinneth hath not seen him, neither knows him or known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoso is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. This is going to be interesting, whoever's teaching this that week, y'all. Christy, is that you? We'll see ya. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. Becca, would you read until you get tired? After? Whenever you... y'all ready? Now, you are pregnant, so if you can't breathe, I'll take it off. I'm just fat. You're pregnant.
All right, you all ready? Okay. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Don't be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Is that it?
Who is that? That's the kind of voice that. No men allowed at this Bible study. Okay, whenever you're ready.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. But we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him.
By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have found from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
That's a big section, so think about it a minute. Are you getting tired, Becca?
Okay.
Okay. Almost done. No wrong and right answers either, y'all. This is just not what you feel like are the divisions or the subjects.
This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life.
If y'all notice, verse 7 is not in that, not in the ESV. And well, it could be verse 7, but my verse 7 is not in the ESV. And so it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And I marked that was added for clarity at some point in time. And so in case she was reading that and you're like, and you're in King James, you're like, where'd that one go? Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's the history of that. Yep, last one.
I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death. There is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols.
He just ends abruptly. Little children. All right, so we're going to talk about, like, what you think about his style, or, you know, what what's repeated over and over. But first, I want to hear kind of some of the divisions or the titles, or what you pulled out of those verses. Anybody who wants to share? Anybody, the first section, 1:1-4, want to share what they put?
What I wrote, I said, and this is John speaking, he's saying, I have seen the manifest Christ, and I want to proclaim him to you.
That's good.
That's what I am.
That's good. Anybody else?
I'll say what I did, because I actually did that, and the rest of them came out of me.
Kayla helped you. Uh-huh. You started cheating after that. Kayla?
No, she just told me to realize they were there. The first one, it said, the Bible said the incarnation of the word of life. And I said, the evidence of Christ. So you see, I did do that one.
And you'll probably remember that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Homeschool mom in here. Okay. Good. The evidence. Amen. Anybody else? Want to share what they put? Don't be shy.
Mine was similar. The testimony of Christ that we are eyewitnesses of healing.
Touched and handled, yeah.
You remind me of that sermon Pastor Lee just preached about the senses. Mm. You know, like he's real. I can touch him. I can hear him. Mm-hmm. I can see him. So I love that. And then fellowship kind of jumping out.
Yeah. Fellowship. It's like this. You can have the fellowship we had, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get too much into Jane's teaching, but I love that part. Our fellowship's with the Father. And, you know, it reminded me of John 17 when Jesus prayed that we may be one and we all may be one as you and I are one and we may be one. And he was praying for us too, you know. So that was. Mm-hmm. Anybody else on that first one? How about the second one? 1:5 through 2:11. What did y'all put for a title of that section? And think about, you know, the themes and the repetition.
Live in the light.
Live in the light. Anybody else? How many of you put light in the title? Go ahead, Becca.
I put the light of Jesus by him through us in everyday life. Mm-hmm.
So how many of y'all put light in the title of it? Or however, it had a lot. That was one of the main things, huh? Or darkness and light.
Light dispels darkness.
Amen. Just the littlest bit of light.
And anybody? Fellowship again. The word fellowship.
Yeah, anybody have anything, you know, besides that that stuck out to you? I love the Bible. It's a living word, so it speaks to us so many different ways. It's not that it has different interpretations. It's just alive. So whatever our hearts longing to hear, deep calls unto deep. I love that message. If y'all didn't hear that from Brother Turner. Yeah. All right. 12 through 14, chapter 2. That is one passage that I've always pondered and tried to understand. Anybody want to? But what'd you put for that title?
I'm still pondering.
Still pondering.
Classification of the saints, but I don't know because I know.
Classification of the saints.
Kind of the growth,
yeah.
I'm like you. I still don't always take it like that. I'm like, I don't know if there's a deeper. You know, I don't know.
Well, Jane's going to tell us all about that in 2 weeks. Lee actually shared on that one time, and it went bing, you know, and and it's kind of what Erica's talking about too. It's like the children, the ones who just say that they didn't see Jesus, you know. So anyway, I'm not going to get into it. No, all right.
I felt like it was like showing the generations and being able to overcome throughout the generations, even if you go like in the first part of verse John where he's saying, I've touched this, I've felt this, I've seen it, I've been there. You too, you can overcome, you can have endurance, you can press
Amen.
Through this as well. So
mm-hmm.
I was just seeing the generations and how we felt down.
Amen. It reveals his heart too, what John's really wanting people to get a hold of. I mean, I'm going to hear myself. Okay, how about the 2:15 through 17?
Don't love the world.
And it just, anything of it. And he kind of gives us, and how many times have you heard this verse quoted?
The only one I got.
Yeah. how many scriptures, were you surprised to see how many scriptures were in 1 John that you've heard and have, you know, been quoted over and over. You've heard so many times. So it's just very rich. All right. I don't want to go too slow. So let's go to the next one. 18 through 27. Anybody want to share what they put?
I put warning and assurance.
Warning and assurance.
It's warning of the Antichrist, but spirit, but like an assurance of abiding in Jesus.
We don't have to be afraid. The Holy Spirit lives in, you know, he's like, the Holy Spirit lives in you. You know, he's going to show you. We can trust that. Amen. The next one, 28 through 310. All right, next one. So we have the born of God, you're going to live in righteousness, abide in righteousness. What about the next one? Born of God, I put, well, love one another, but anybody puts that? Okay. So he's kind of given us proofs or tests. You know, I thought of geometry and having a proof of something. You know, he's given us, all right, you know you're born of God if you walk, live in righteousness, abide in righteousness. You know you're born of God if you love one another. Mm-hmm. So, all right, 4:1-6. What'd you put?
Because I was just talking. Oh. Kind of stopped. It's kind of long, but it's like, I mean, the spirit of truth is the spirit of God, and that spirit confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh. It's mm-hmm. like, if you get that, that spells all the, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. all the isms and mm-hmm. things going on.
So amen.
Kind of long.
Yeah. No, that's good. And like I said earlier, think about what, you know, that seems like, okay, anybody can say, oh yeah, Jesus is coming in the flesh. But what does that really mean? Like, what does that define in us when we really believe that? You know, because some people, yeah, he came, he was just a man and he was in the flesh. The Gnostics believed he was a man that some being inhabited, and then before he went to the cross, that being left him, and he just died on the cross as a man, you know. So it was, you know, there were some reasons why that he mentions that importance. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. We're on 4:7-5:5.
God is love.
Is that the title?
Carla, I'm not cheating. I'm accusing
you of something. Yeah.
Christy.
All right. Anybody else add to that at all?
God also starts with all love, and it's him in us that causes us to love others.
Amen.
Okay. Uh-oh. She said it doesn't count because I went over the line.
Okay. Okay, let's, anybody else before we move on? Okay, 6-12, chapter 5.
It's for the testimony of God.
Testimony of God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else?
Eternal life is all I found in the Son.
Okay. Okay, he does talk about eternal life in it.
Mm-hmm.
Life is in the blood. Oh. If you haven't listened to the 9 o'clock message, you need to make that plug again. It's so good. It's on the blood. All right, last one, 13-21. Where did y'all put? Anybody? What you got, Rose?
Well, I just said confirming affirmation. Confirming everything they said. Thank you, Heather.
Anybody want to share what they put for the last one?
Conclusion.
That you may know that you have eternal life.
That you may know eternal life. So all these things, I put knowing we are of God. I mean, he's, you know, he sums up by all these things that John is writing. What does it make you? There's a few questions then that they ask us. What attitudes and feelings? Now this is number one. So if you want to go backwards and fill this in. What attitudes and feelings towards his readers does John show after we've read these things? And what does it make you think about? How does he feel about his readers?
Warm, affectionate. Mm-hmm. Calls them little children.
Warm, affectionate, patient. Calling them children. Huh? You know, Lee always said he's finally learned over the years that he just has to be very repetitive and say things over and over and over and over again. It takes a while for it to really, like, not just be here, but get in here and you can live it out, become a part of you, you know? So he does. He repeats things over and over again. What are some things you find him repeating? That would be number two that you answer. You can add that in. What are some things he repeats that you see?
Don't be deceived.
Anybody else? Overcomers, being overcome. Loving one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can examine your own heart. And then. Anybody else? There's a few more he mentions, I think, several times.
Light, darkness.
Light and darkness.
Sin.
Sin.
Fellowship.
Fellowship.
Belief.
Huh?
Belief.
Belief.
Talk about the spirit dwelling within us. That gives us assurance of a lot of things.
Okay.
Abiding.
I'm sorry, my ears weren't that great. So I heard a little noise. Okay, and I put truth. Did we already say truth? Deception and truth.
Yeah,
truth. So that's number two if you want to fill those things in. That's the things that are they're repeated over and over again. Anything else, though, about the way he might feel about those he's writing to?
He has a heart for these people. He's taking the advice of Jesus, and he says it over and over.
Yes.
If you miss it the first time, I'll say it to you again. Mm-hmm. Don't miss it.
Amen. Good, yeah.
He loves them so much that he takes the time to write a letter to them.
Right. Good.
And he loves Jesus so much that he wants those that he loves to love Jesus. You know,
right. He wants them to have what he has, huh? Yeah. And he believes that they can. You know, he has a lot of faith to believe. Because you think about if you've ever known somebody that's, you know, become saved or become a Christian, you want so bad for them to, like, you know, walk in truth, don't sin, you know, and you need to love and you need to, you know, all of these things. And he's just really encouraging. Buddy, I love that he says it's the Spirit in you. He's there to quicken you. He's there to bring you into truth. He's there to give you knowledge.
Me and Theo
were
talking about how Miss Pam's description of him is my favorite description of somebody in the Bible, because I resonate with that a lot whenever he was called the Son of Wonder. And but I just think about the refining process over his life. Like, he was probably just this brash guy that wanted to just call this thunder upon and rebuke these people in the beginning of the Gospels. And then at the end, he uses that's his personality still. Like, you can still see it through the book, where we'd be like, okay, now don't be deceived, sweetheart, because you know he's just don't be deceived. This is how it is. It's still kind of just straightforward and blunt. But it's you see in these books that he writes later on in his life that God just tenderized his heart so much more to actually love them and write it in such a way that it was straightforward and blunt, but still with the compassion of Jesus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's neat to see his personality kind of.
And it shows us what our heart should be to one another, that love. And he talks about that love in each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee said it so many times, walking in the light is loving your brothers. And I think as we see and as we go through this study, he talks about the command, Jesus' commandments to obey him. Well, they're to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and that it's kind of brought through in this book. You know, if we follow him in those things, it's so important. But, you know, and someone mentioned, I think, Josie, he says, my little children, several times. Mm-hmm. My little children, my little children. Mm-hmm. And he felt like a father to them. You know, he was older at this time in his life. And like you're saying, Becca, he had walked with the Lord and been refined and come to this place mm-hmm. where he just desired for them to know what he knew. Mm-hmm. And think about this, and it just went out of my head that fast. Christy, you did this the other night, and I thought, oops, she's been around me too much. I know, it just left. When you think about, he was in Ephesus. That's where he was writing from, and he was writing to the Christians. And that's actually the question in the margin. Do you think he's writing to Christians or non-Christians? What do you think? Christians, yeah. And, I mean, how can you tell that? He asked the question, how can you tell that? He says in chapter 3, now we are the sons of God. He calls them brothers. He says we can assure our hearts. He's given us his Spirit. You know, I write to you that believe. He says all those things throughout the book. So it's really obvious he's writing to believers. But I think about Ephesus. They were the ones in Revelation who Jesus said, write this to the church in Ephesus. You've done all these things, but you've left your first love. And that's what he's trying to get them to get back to, is loving Jesus and loving one another. And so Revelation is going to come after this book. So that's still the problem they're having in Ephesus. And also in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul says, I want you to know to be established in his love and know the height, the breadth, the length, and depth, and know the love of Christ, the love of God. I mean, that was Paul's prayer for him too. So, I mean, I don't think there was anything horrible about the Ephesians more than any other Christians. That's what we struggle with. It's loving the world and the things that, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. And he's just really beseeching them, my little children. You know, it's kind of, my kids get so tired of me, you know, and I don't think all our kids are just beseeching them. Oh, just, you know, do this. Oh, make sure you do this. Oh, you know, okay, Mom. You know, but it's just because you just want so bad for them, yes, to know what you know or learn what you've already learned and not have to go through what you went through, yes, to learn it. And that's John's heart for them. You know, it's just that he just has that, like, they're his children and he loves them. So anybody want to say anything before we move on in this about...
I think too, in the first part of the verse, where he says, we're writing these things so that your joy may be complete. And then he says later in chapter 5, his commandments are not burdensome. It's like he's crying out to him to say, don't live under the law. Mm-hmm. Don't strive for righteousness. Right. But listen to what I'm going to tell you, because your joy can be complete. And it's like this excitement in him. It's like, come with me into mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. fellowship with Christ and not living under the burden. And we all, you know, we all struggle with that sometimes, like following the rules. And it's like, come live in the light and come experience what real love is like. And it is this, like, drawing. It's one of the things that makes me love Pastor Lee so much, is that's how Lee preaches to us.
Mm-hmm.
I've never felt like he preaches down to us, like a condemnation of, like, y'all are doing this and I'm doing this. But I've always felt like he's, like, looking down from the stage at us, like, y'all, come on, like, come with me. You know, it's how he makes me feel when he speaks to me. Mm-hmm. And so I see that in John, in this mm-hmm. letter, that it's like, I know and I've experienced something that I'm longing for you to experience. Because if you'll come experience it, your joy can be made complete.
Amen.
And you'll know, and you'll have this assurance. I love him where he says, abide in him, because when he appears, we will have confidence and not shrink back from him in shame at his coming. Like, he knows we're going to stand before him and we're going to be excited to see him. And mm-hmm. it's just, it's a neat encouragement of him, like, come with me.
Yeah.
You know, and come let your boy be full.
That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Let's turn, I don't even know what time it is. Let's turn to list these last few things, number 4 on page 17. So, you know, we said he talks about my little children, my brothers, my fathers, all those things. What other people, not his readers, does he talk about, and how does he feel about them? And it mentions a scripture, for instance, passage to look at, but do you remember the other people he talks about that aren't the believers?
So those that do not keep his commandments, he calls them liars. Mm-hmm. They're void of truth, and that the one who hates his brother is in darkness, stumbling, and blind.
So he doesn't mince words, does he? Yes. They're blind, they're murderers. He said, you're a murderer if you hate mm-hmm. your brother. Children of the devil is chapter 3, verse 9.
Yeah.
So he's just, you know, thinking of his writing style. How would you describe the way John writes this letter? That's one of the questions in there.
It's very direct.
Very clear. He gets to the point. Yeah, black and
white.
I was reading somewhere, I can't remember it, but about what one of the writers was saying about John. There's no gray area with him, you know.
Yeah,
it's just this or that, you know. Darkness or light, truth or the lie, love or, you know, not love, hate, murder.
Son of God or son of the devil.
Yeah, so yeah. And I mean, that's true. Yeah,
yeah.
It's true. All right, so let's go to the last pages, 18. And we may not get all of this done. There's actually two more sets. But you can do some of this if you want. But this, again, is just an overview. We'll be studying in detail the rest of the chapters. John repeats over and over again that we can have confidence. This is number 5. We can have confidence and we can know for certain. So in... and who, somebody look up 321 for us, somebody else 417, and somebody 514. Anybody have 321?
I do. Beloved, right. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God.
So where, what can we have confidence? Or what does that say about having confidence?
If your heart does not condemn you.
Yeah. Don't let you, if your heart doesn't condemn you, you can have confidence. If your heart doesn't condemn you, you can have confidence towards God. We can know we're in Him. If, you know, and He talks about let our hearts condemn us, but without that, with when they don't condemn us, we have confidence. Okay, what about 4:17? So how can we have boldness? What did it say in the beginning? What was that very first part? I'm sorry. Love has been made perfect in us, so we might have boldness. So we can have confidence when it talks about God's perfect love, love being made perfect in us, can give us boldness. And then who has 5:14?
Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us.
So how can we have be confident that He hears us? We ask according to His will. And number 6 says, over and over, John emphasizes what we know and how we can be certain that we know it. From the following verses, write down what we know and what test assures us. So we'll end with this little exercise. Let's all look at 2:3. What we know and what how we're certain we could know it. Verse 3, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Am I in the right place?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what I wrote down has nothing to do with that.
Oh, I love that.
All right, but it's pretty straightforward. Okay, what we know Him. How can we know Him? If we keep His commandments. I don't know where I put that one. Okay.
These last ones, the 3, number 5, they're all promises.
Mm,
like,
good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
it's going to be a rich study as we get into
yes.
it. Yeah. And you'll be really blessed the more you do at home, which is, you know, in your own time. All right, 3:10. Let's look at that one. In this, the children of God are manifest. So what can we know? The children of God. Who's the children of God? We can know who they are and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. So how can we know who's the children of the devil? If you... Okay. Y'all can write that in. if you don't do righteousness and you don't love your brother, then you're a child of the devil. Got it? That's the truth. He's giving it just straightforward. Are you still looking at the commentary and stuff like that?
She's
3:14. We know, he's asked us, what is it that we know? That we've passed from death to life. So that's what you would write. We know we've passed from death to life. How?
We
love the brothers. I mean, sometimes I think, you know, there's people that I'm maybe not like crazy about, but in my heart, you know, God's given us a love. You know, maybe there's things in our flesh that aggravate us, but, you know, if we love our, even those who hurt us, do we love them? This really kind of makes us examine our hearts. But it's if you notice as a believer, when you are... have animosity towards someone, God's not going to let you go. The Holy Spirit, the unction of the Holy Spirit, like He talks about, is going to deal with you, and you're not going to be comfortable. That goal that's agitating, that impurity is getting agitated and coming up to the surface, and the God's going to deal with it. So it's he works in you. All right, 3:24 and 4:13. 3:24 says, so what do we know? He that keeps His commandments dwells in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abides in us. Hereby we know that He abides in us. How? By the Spirit which He has given us. Same thing for 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us. Why? How do we know it? He's given us his spirit. And if you think about Romans, it says that in chapter 8. If you don't have the Son, if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have the Son dwelling in you. Because everyone born of God, the Spirit dwells in him. All right, we got one more. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves him, that begat, loves him also that is begotten of him. We're going to keep on reading. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. What would y'all put there under what we know?
Jesus is the Christ, and we believe we have eternal life.
Okay. Anybody else want to add or say anything? If we have Jesus, it again talks about having love in others. And also we have the Son of God. If we don't have him, we don't have life.
Jesus is life.
Jesus is life.
Yes. Period.
Y'all remember that song?
Yes.
That's all I remember. That's an old one.
I mean, love is all in there. And yes. The abiding is like in John.
Amen. Amen. And verse 7 is kind of like number 7 is kind of like what Christy's saying, that your joy may be full. That was his purpose. He wanted their joy to be full. And he didn't want them to live in sin. He wanted them to be fulfilled in the Lord and know the Lord as he did. So anybody have anything they want to add to this chapter and this study? There's a few that we didn't get to, so if you have extra time. There's some good, I love the things in the margins. They're my favorite ones. The main parts are kind of facts and things that it's good. You need to see that. You need to study that. But then kind of challenge yourself with the questions in the margins that make you think a little bit more. Discuss. We might discuss from time to time.